Hello everyone, welcome to the first episode of the Wolves Wired podcast, your one-stop place for all things NBA and Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. I'm your host, Chetan Kohli, and I'm thrilled to bring you the latest news, analysis, and insights on the league and about our beloved Timberwolves basketball team. So I'm just going to start off by talking about the Wolves. As a Wolves fan for about 9 to 10 years, I've seen some highs and lows of the franchise. Some pretty bad trades, pretty bad signings, some disastrous seasons. But now, it's all come down to this, where the Wolves are legitimately one of the best teams in the West and have a legitimate shot at the NBA championship. In each episode of Wolves Wired, we'll dive deep into the Timberwolves' performance, break down key games, discuss the team's strengths and weaknesses, and analyze the latest roster moves and coaching decisions. But we won't just focus on the Wolves. We'll also keep you all updated on the broader NBA landscape, covering the playoff races, blockbuster trades, and the biggest storylines that are going around the league. Whether you're a diehard Timberwolves fan or just a casual NBA enthusiast, Wolves Wired is the podcast for you. We'll provide the in-depth analysis, engaging conversations, and entertaining takes that will keep you informed and entertained throughout the whole 82-game season. So sit back, grab your favorite Wolves gear or NBA team gear, and get ready for an exciting journey through the world of NBA basketball. Let's get started. So first and foremost, I want to start off by talking about the NBA semifinals round two matchups. We can start off by talking about the matchups in the West, and I think the matchup that everyone was most excited for the second round was the Nuggets versus the Timberwolves. Obviously, you have the number two seeded Nuggets who are the reigning champions, won the championship last year, just came off of a great 4-1 win over the Lakers, and they have, in my opinion, in a lot of people's opinion, the best player in the world, and a two-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. And then on the other side, you got the number three seeded Minnesota Timberwolves who just came off a very, very impressive 4-0 sweep against a very offensively talented Phoenix Suns team, who consisted of scorers like Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. So this series was something that a lot of people were looking forward to, and we got the first taste of the series in our mouth on Saturday between the Nuggets and the Wolves. And the Wolves came out on top 106-99 in that game in Denver, and coming out and winning the first game on the road in a playoff series is really, really important and can do wonders for you going later on throughout the series, because the Wolves kind of came out and they set the pace of the game. They set the pace of the series. So now the pressure's back onto Denver for them to respond. So coming out and getting a win is exactly what the Wolves needed. Splitting the away series is the best possible case that you can ask for when you're playing in a playoff series. So just some like key takeaways from this game while I was watching it is, the most important thing I want to talk about is Anthony Edwards and his historic performance. He had a game-high 43 points, which is his second straight 40-point playoff game. And he's actually now the second youngest player in NBA history to record back-to-back 40-point playoff games, behind only, actually, Kobe. So just overall, while watching this game, it was really evident that the Wolves put an emphasis on coming out in the first quarter and starting strong. Because throughout the whole season, the Wolves' main problem was that they were always fighting from behind throughout the game. They'd come out in the first quarter, play a little lazy, play a little sloppy, turn the ball over, and find themselves down 10, 12 points at the end of the first. So throughout the whole season, they were fighting from the second quarter onwards to get back into the game. Which shows, because they do have the second most double-digit comeback wins in the league, just behind the OKC Thunder. But in the playoffs, that's actually, coming back when you're already down double digits in the first quarter is very, very difficult, because especially when you're the away team, because the crowd is just feeding off of the energy of the team that's up, and you kind of have to exert more energy to just even the score. And then from then on, you have to put in even more energy to close the game out. So Chris Finch said multiple times even before the Sun series, that their main goal was to come out shooting and come out really aggressive. And that's exactly what Anthony Edwards did, as he came out of the gates with a quick 9 points, and the Timberwolves actually had a quick 18-4 lead, which lasted like only 2 minutes, because you would expect the reigning champions to go on a run and come back in the game, and just like that they did. They went on a 23-9 run to close the first quarter, and the Wolves did find themselves down 2 points in the first quarter, but that 18-4 start is what kept them in the game from the first quarter on. So they weren't fighting. They weren't always trying to fight their way back into the game throughout the whole game. And another reason why being down in this series especially is really important, especially being down a lot in the first quarter, is because when you play in Denver, you're playing at a high altitude, which means it's harder for you to breathe. Players openly say how much more tired they get when they play in Denver, or how fast they get tired compared to when they're playing in other arenas. So when you find yourself down in the first quarter, especially in Denver, you got to use all the energy you have, but at the same time, your energy and your stamina isn't where it usually is, because you're not used to playing at such a high altitude. So that's something really, really important to keep an eye out when you're looking at the series. And another thing that I really, really, really liked from the Wolves in this game was how they defended Jokic. Jokic still did have his 32, 9 assists and 8 rebounds in the game. Like, he'll always get his, he'll always put up numbers. But it was just the fact that the Wolves were forcing him to play faster than he's normally used to. When you see Jokic normally play, you see him as a player who's controlling the pace of the game, and he's looking for his own spots. And that kind of helps him play make, and that helps his team as well. But throughout the course of this specific game against the Wolves, you could see Jokic was visibly frustrated, and he was visibly getting rushed by the T-Wolves defense. And that would force him to take shots that he usually doesn't take, or to make passes faster, or make passes, harder passes, which he usually isn't accustomed to making. Which obviously he could still make those passes, because he is the best playmaker in the league. But it's just making it as hard as you can for him, and getting him as tired as you can until before the fourth quarter, because everyone knows that Jokic is one of the best fourth quarter performers in the league as well. So it was just really good to see Kat and Rudy both take on that challenge and just try their best to make it as difficult as they could for him. And I feel like the main reason why Jokic has a lot of trouble against this Wolves team, or it looks like he's playing harder, is because the Wolves have 3 7-footers that they can throw at Jokic at any given time. They have Kat, who's 7 foot, Rudy, who's like 7'2", and then Naz Reid, who's 6'11", basically 7 feet. So the matchup is usually Kat on Jokic and Rudy on Aaron Gordon. So if Jokic beats Kat off the dribble, he then goes to the paint and then he runs into another 7-footer. And if Kat or Rudy get into foul trouble, one or the other, you throw Naz into the mix, and you still have to get past 2 7-footers to get to your spots, because Jokic lives within that 8 to 12 foot area from the rim. So that's where he likes to go and find his spot. So I feel like just having so much size and so much length to be able to throw different people at Jokic is something really good for the Wolves, because it's going to frustrate him a lot, because no matter who's in the game, he's going to have to go through 2 7-footers to get to the basket, which is really, really, really good for the Wolves. Another thing that I saw in this game was, in the first half, the Wolves supporting cast didn't really step up much throughout the game. It was just an Anthony Edwards just finding his spots, taking shots that he was open, finding his teammates. It was the Anthony Edwards show in the first half. But in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, was when Naz Reid came to play. And in my opinion, that's the difference between the Wolves and the Nuggets. It's their bench. If you look at the starting five between the Nuggets and the Wolves, the Nuggets start with Jamal Murray at the one, KCP at the two, MPJ, Michael Porter Jr. at the three, Aaron Gordon at the four, and then Jokic at the five. The Wolves have Mike Conley at the one, Anthony Edwards at the two, Jaden McDaniels at the three, Cat at the four, and then Rudy at the five. The Nuggets starting five is arguably one of the most well-balanced and the best starting five in the league. But if you go to their bench, they don't really have anyone on their bench that can come out and provide a spark for the team. Their bench is like a very big weakness, and that's a really key thing when it comes to the playoffs. Because if your bench isn't strong, you're making star players like Jokic play 41 minutes a game, 42 minutes a game, which they're not accustomed to usually doing. So if you compare the Nuggets bench to the T-Wolves bench, on the Nuggets they have Christian Braun, Justin Holiday, Reggie Jackson, who in the first half of the game on Saturday did provide a spark for the Nuggets, but ultimately didn't really do anything after that. And they also do have Peyton Watson, but they're lacking a lot of shooting from their bench because Christian Braun and Peyton Watson aren't known to be great shooters. And then you go to the Wolves side. You have Naz Reid, who is the 2024 NBA Sixth Man of the Year, who averages like close to 14 points a game coming off the bench. You have Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who in my opinion is a top 5 perimeter defender in the NBA, and also a very, very good 3-point shooter who shoots at about 39-40%. Then you have Monte Morris, a very, very serviceable backup point guard who can come into the game, control the pace, just make the right passes, and just do the right things for his team. And then you have Kyle Anderson, a very unique and smart player who just plays to his advantages. He uses his length in ways that he's able to use it. And if you look at all four of them can score the ball. Three out of four of them can shoot the ball, and all four of them can defend. So in my opinion, that's the biggest difference between the Wolves and the Nuggets. But overall, it's going to be a great series, and it's going to be a chess match between both teams, because you know for a fact that the Nuggets are going to make adjustments in Game 2. The T-Wolves are also going to make their adjustments in Game 2, especially when they're guarding MPJ, because there were times in the game where Michael Porter Jr. would come off a down screen or come off a flare, and he would be wide open to have a corner three or a three off the wing. So it's going to be a chess match between those two between both of these teams. But if there is one team that has the best chance to defeat the reigning champs, it would be the Wolves, just because of their size and the firepower that they have going from roster spot 1 through 15. Next up in the Western Conference, we have the Dallas Mavericks versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this series features a clash of two of the West top contenders. The Thunder are led by the dynamic duo of Shea, Chet, and along with those two, they also have Jalen Williams, who in my opinion is a very, very underrated player in the league. Meanwhile, the Mavericks are paced by the brilliant play of, obviously, you have another MVP candidate in Luka Doncic, who's looking to lead the team past the second round for the first time. And alongside Luka, he now has a very, very serviceable shooting guard in Kyrie Irving. So in this game, the key matchup to watch, in my opinion, will be Luka versus the Thunder's perimeter defense. And that's led by Lu Dort on the Thunder. And the real question is, can Dort and the Thunder contain Doncic's playmaking and scoring? And I feel like Dort is best equipped to guard Luka on the Thunder, and he's best equipped to give Luka a hard time. And like I said before, it's just like how you guard Jokic. Luka's going to go out there and he's going to drop 25, 30 points, get his 9 assists, get his almost triple-double. But all you really need to do is make life as difficult as you can for him and make him work throughout the whole game, starting from when the tip-off happens. The key is to get these star players as tired as you really can so they can't be as effective as they are in the fourth quarter. On the other end, the Mavericks will need to find ways to slow down SGA and Chet's rim protection. So the biggest difference for me between the Mavericks and the Thunder is their size. The Thunder are on a little bit of a smaller end compared to the Mavericks, because the Mavericks do have two very athletic fours and fives in PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, and Derek Lively, who come and give a lot of energy to the team, and they're very, very athletic players who play well with Luka and his playmaking style. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Chet can protect the rim and how the Thunder defense can kind of use their length to their advantage and not get bullied by how big the Mavs are compared to them. So this is going to be a really interesting series to watch. I personally think that the Thunder could walk away with this in 6 to 7 games, but I think ultimately it goes to seven just because of the firepower the Mavs have and just because of the clutch shot making from Kyrie and Luka, who can just come in the fourth and dominate. But overall, I still think the Thunder can take this away just because of the way Shea's playing and the supporting cast the Thunder have all around them. And just like the Wolves, the Thunder are a very, very deep team. They have players from 1 through 15 that can come in and make a difference. So that's going to be something really important to watch when you're watching the second round of the playoffs. So next up, let's shift gears to the Eastern Conference. So just yesterday, we had a Game 7 between the Magic and the Cavs, and the Cavs pulled away with that, even though the Magic had a 10-point lead going into halftime. But overall, I did think the Cavs would pull away from this series just because of the experience they have, and they do have a little bit more star power on their team. But I just want to say that for a 20-year-old second-year player in the league, Paolo played an amazing series. He did what was asked of him as a number one option on his team. He dropped in an elimination game, Game 7, probably the biggest game of his career. He dropped 38 points, 16 rebounds, and 2 assists. You can't really ask anything more from your star player. So a big shout out to Paolo for how he played. And the Magic, for a long time, because of how young they are going to be a very good team. So now we're going to look at the Celtics versus the Cavs matchup in the second round in the East. So the Celtics enter the second round as obviously the heavy favorites in the East because of just the star power they have in their starting five. And that goes from Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, and Kristaps Porzingis. But as of right now, it's looking like Kristaps potentially won't return from injury until the Eastern Conference Finals, if they make the Eastern Conference Finals. So they're going to be without Kristaps probably for the first couple games of this series, most likely for the whole series against the Cavs. And that's going to be something really interesting to watch because the Cavs do have a lot of size on their team in Evan Mobley and in Jared Allen. So that's going to be really, really interesting to watch. Even though actually now they don't really have Jared Allen playing. I think Jared Allen's hurt. So it's just really Evan Mobley, and they have Tristan Thompson. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Celtics match up against the Cavs when they don't have KP. But at the same time, the Cavs don't really have anyone that can guard Tatum. Yeah, they have Mobley, who is a very versatile 7-footer who can move his feet on the perimeter. But Tatum is just an amazing player. No matter what others say, he's a very, very good scorer. He's a great defender. And overall, the Celtics have personnel to match up against the Cavs stars. They have Jrue Holiday to guard Donovan Mitchell. They have Derek White to match up against Darius Garland. And they also have Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, who also play very, very good defense. So I think that the Celtics take this in, I could see it going to six games, but realistically, I think the Celtics take this in five. So going to the second matchup in the East for the semifinals is going to be, in my opinion, the most interesting matchup in the East. And that's between the number two New York Knicks and the number six Indiana Pacers. So this series features two teams that exceeded their regular season expectations. The Knicks are led by their dynamic point guard of Jalen Brunson, and also have Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, Isaiah Hartenstein, Dante DiVincenzo, Deuce McBride, and the Pacers are paced by their two-way play of Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner. In my opinion, the key for the Knicks in this game will be their ability to control the pace of the game, because the Pacers play at a very, very fast pace, and they also have the highest offensive rating in the league. So they put points up on the board, and they put points up on the board fast. They like to get out in transition, whether it be off a miss or even just off of a quick inbound. They just like to get the ball up the court. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the Knicks control that pace, because in order for the Knicks to win and come out victorious in this series, they need the Pacers to play in a half-court offense, because that's not what they normally are used to. They need them to play in a half-court offense against the Knicks in their half-court defense, because the Knicks are also one of the best defensive teams in the league. So for the Pacers, if they want to win, they're going to need to find a way to slow down the Knicks' offense and get production from the rest of their supporting cast. It's just that simple. But overall, I don't think they have anyone who can guard Brunson or stay in front of Brunson, especially because Brunson's known to be really, really good at finding contact and getting to the foul line. So that's going to be really interesting to watch, to see who guards Brunson and how foul trouble affects that matchup. But for the Pacers, obviously you have Tyrese. He's an all-star. He'll give you 25 points a game and a great 11 assists. But I think the key factor is Miles Turner for the Pacers. Just because of how good he is defensively, he can block shots with the best of them. But also, if he can continue shooting at a high clip like he is right now, that can help the Pacers play in the half-court offense, because now they have another player that they could swing the ball to, who they know and who they can trust can make a crucial three, whether it be in a late-game situation or a late-clock situation. So I feel like Miles Turner is a very important piece for the Pacers, and the way he plays can really dictate how this series goes. But overall, I think the Knicks take the series in a good six games. It's going to be a hard-fought series, but I feel like they take it in a quick six games. Overall, the second round of these playoffs are going to be very, very amazing, and I'm really looking forward to the to game two of the Wolves Nuggets series today. And also, we have game one of the Knicks-Pacers series. So that's it for today. Thank you for your time listening to the Wolves Wired podcast. And tune in a couple of days for more in-depth analysis from around the league and some high praise from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Thank you. This is your host, Chetan Kohli. It's been a pleasure.